Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the Beyond the Pitch and FNX Media Networks. I am your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we continue our 2019 Copa America preview series by discussing Venezuela tonight. Joining me as always, my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and tonight's special guest, Daniel Alvarez, radio host for Global Sports on VDM Radio. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Daniel, I want to come to you first, and I want to ask you about your ties to Venezuelan football and covering the Venezuelan national team.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me. Hi, Roberto. Well, actually, I started covering Venezuelan football this year. I had just my first coverage for VDM Radio last week, you know, when Venezuela was playing at Hard Rock Stadium here in Miami against Ecuador. But before that, I was just doing, you know, analysis and everything on my show. And, you know, I've been watching and following Venezuelan football since I was a kid.
So, you know, you did mention that watching Venezuela as a kid, and, you know, it's kind of been a yin and yang, I would say, for Venezuela. Obviously, you know, we all know the situation that's happening politically, and you had mentioned this before the start of the show, that, you know, that this Copa America in particular is something to bring a sort of unity to a country that's obviously suffering a lot over the last few years. But, you know, having said that, you also have to look at also some of the positives, because with this Venezuelan team, and if you guys remember correctly, that Venezuela has been on the high up for quite some time. If you recall, they did make the final of the U-20 World Cup just 2 years ago, only losing to eventual champions England. But when you have, you know, some of these players that were on that team will currently make up the current lineup, and especially the manager in Radamel Dudamel, it's going to be an interesting case in regards to how Venezuela do in this particular Copa America. So, you know, just to start off here, Daniel, I mean, what is the perception now in Venezuela, you know, given that everything has been going on in the country politically, but how are they viewing this Copa America? And also, I guess the rise of popularity, but especially in a country where, you know, football, soccer is not traditionally as big as other sports in other countries in the South America, but also, you know, how are they viewing, I guess, the rise of Venezuelan football right now?
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned, Under-20 World Cup in 2017 was huge because, as you mentioned, they were playing the final against England, and something that was unexpected. But, you know, years before that, you know, some of the guys from that group played, you know, a very good under 17 tournament. And there's a lot of optimism because plenty of these young guys have been playing very well. And Dudamel, their head coach, mentioned that when they first got to the, you know, to the group, to the, you know, to the big team, they always were doing pranks and mocking with them. And now they say, okay, the veteran guys, they have admiration for those guys. And when you see the, you know, the training sessions and the games, you can see how big respect the veteran guys have for those youngsters. And you can see that they are playing very well together. You know, the guys that are, you know, maybe 21, 22, with not too many games on the national team, and how guys like Rondon, Salomon Rondon, or Tomas Rincon, and Roberto Rosales as well, you know, the veteran guys on the national team are playing with them. And, you know, there's a lot of work to do. I mean, of course, not only to win Copa America, but as well to advance to the next World Cup. But it has been good to see how those young guys have been, you know, playing, you know, very well with those veteran guys for such a short period of time, and having that short experience with the national team.
Sure. No, so you're looking at this team in general, and, you know, you did mention World Cup qualifying. You know, obviously Venezuela is the only South American team to have never qualified for a World Cup. But, you know, obviously we are talking about this Copa America, but how important will this Copa America be, especially in a manager like Rafael Dudamel, who is very, very important and has been such a sensational, I guess, figure for this team to in their improvement. You know, how important is this Copa America, especially in preparation for qualification for the World Cup?
Well, I think that it will give a lot of confidence to the team, you know, in order to face those qualifying. I mean, they qualified for the next World Cup. I remember in 2011, you remember they lost in the semifinals against Paraguay. And, you know, that year was very special for us because, you know, united the country for a whole month, you know, especially going that far in the Cup. And then for the next for the next couple of games against Ecuador, Bolivia, Argentina. They play very well, and they started in a very good way for the 2014 World Cup qualifying, even though they didn't make it. So I guess that this will mean exactly the same that it meant in 2011, knowing that after the Copa America, they will have to face the qualifying for 2022. And yeah, I mean, confidence-wise, if they do good, I know that they will be, you know, in a way much better mood in order to face that qualifying.
Now, Daniel, I want to jump in here and look at the main storyline for the team going into this tournament. Obviously, we've mentioned Dudamel already. Coming onto the scene in 2016, had a memorable 2016 Copa America Centenario, eliminating Uruguay in the process, you know, before being eliminated by Argentina, a match that actually Rob and I were at, believe it or not. But focusing and moving forward here, obviously the disappointment of not being able to qualify for the 2018 World Cup, coming into this tournament with a team that, even though is young and has a nice mixture of talent, is quite experienced in terms of international football when you look at them.
Yeah.
What is Dudamel's focus in this tournament moving forward and trying to advance out of this Group A?
Well, of course, not only advancing, but also to develop these young guys, you know, in order for them to get on a higher level in international football, knowing that you have cases like Rondon or Rosales or Rincon, you know, playing at the best level in Europe. I mean, this is also the main focus for these young guys, especially knowing that, I mean, Dudamel has been knowing these guys for maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, playing with them, you know, in tournaments in 2013, 2015, 17, you know, he knows them from the very beginning when they started playing, you know, in a very high level. So it's important for these players to play with him because he knows them very well, and he's gonna try to get, you know, the best out of their game. So that's gonna be very important. And not only the main focus is to, you know, to advance to the next round, but also, you know, to develop these guys, because this, I mean, Copa America is obviously a big goal for them, but qualifying, you know, to make it to the World Cup in 2022 will be even bigger.
Absolutely. Now, looking into this group, it is an interesting group, especially now, I think, you know, coming after the news that just hit us about 24 hours ago. Just going into the group real quick in order, Venezuela will debut against Peru in Porto Alegre on the 15th, and then we'll travel to Salvador to take on the host Brazil, and then finishing it off against Bolivia on the 22nd in Belo Horizonte. Joe, I'm going to go to you first, because obviously the news that I am referring to is the injury from Neymar from a friendly that happened last night against Qatar. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that is going to be a big blow because he will now miss the Copa America. Now, that also gives an advantage not only to a lot of these teams that are playing in this competition, but also the teams in this group. You know, you look at Bolivia, look at Peru, you know, who are on the way up as well with their process under Gareca, and you have Venezuela as well. Do you see that possibility that now, with a team without essentially their best player in Neymar and all the controversy that's coming into them, and you know, Daniel mentioned the idea of a process and how that familiarity from Dudamel is made to these players. Do you see a real chance of Venezuela trying to perhaps surprise some of these teams heading into this Copa America, or do you feel that it would be expected of them to get out of this group?
I think there's always a chance. You know, Rob, we've talked about this a million times on the show. My father used to always say the ball is round, right? And what that really means is that any team can win on any given day. Now, the problems for Brazil entering this tournament with this major of an injury this late in the process is enormous, because now Chiche has to change what he does. Now, why would we be talking about that when we're talking about Venezuela? Because Venezuela, as we've already alluded to, is a team that is that has a good mixture of talent, young and old. They've played together quite frequently. They had a great run and great experience in the 2016 Centenario. They have a coach that has had them now for a few years, a stability that we've talked about, Rob, with many of these preview shows that many of the other teams don't have. I mean, we you know, Brazil is one of those teams that does have stability at the head coaching position. But we've talked about Colombia, we've talked about Argentina, we've talked about Paraguay, you know, we've talked about Chile. We've talked about all these other teams that are kind of those higher level teams that haven't had or don't have that stability that, that Venezuela actually has at this point with Dudamel. So I think there is, you know, is it likely? No. But I think there is an opportunity there because when you miss Neymar, you have to replace him somehow. Now, there's no playmaker quite like Neymar in the world. You know, the talk is right now that Vinicius Jr. is going to be the one that's going to take his place on the 23-man squad. And you look up and down this Brazilian roster, and it's incredibly talented. I mean, soup to nuts, it's incredibly talented. But to replace a key piece like that is something that maybe, again, the ball is round, and maybe Dudamel comes up with something where he pips a goal, maybe even a draw, Rob. I've got to say that, you know, maybe Venezuela doesn't look to win that match. Maybe Venezuela does something magical against Peru to start, which I think is a bigger focus for Venezuela going into the tournament, that first match, because I think Venezuela can have the points against Bolivia. I really do think they will take those in the end. So they're only going to need a point maybe from Brazil. I think the rest of it will probably take care of itself, and they could easily advance as that third place team, Rob.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously, Danielle, you know, you look at the important games here, and, you know, Joe had alluded of that importance that Brazil will have without Neymar. What do you think is the perspective from Venezuela of this group? And if you had to pinpoint one important match, maybe the hardest or something that perhaps will affect the way they will do in this tournament, what game is it?
I mean, no, obviously, the first game against Peru, because if you get the 3 points, you know, right away, you know, in the first match, then you can go against Brazil and you can either win, lose, or maybe finish in a draw, and nothing's going to happen because then you can go against Bolivia with more confidence. And as Joe said, they can win that game. But if you win against Peru, you don't have to depend on everybody, on another country, you know, result, you know, for to affect you. Let's say that maybe Venezuela doesn't win the first game against Peru, and maybe they get to a draw against Brazil, and they have to depend on what happens with Brazil and Peru in order to advance. So if they can avoid that, that's going to be important, and I think that they can avoid it by winning the first match against Peru.
Yeah, I agree. Just to jump in here real quick, Daniel, and I think the draw sets up nicely for them in that regard. I think being able to start out quickly against Peru, I think, is going to be something that Venezuela is capable of doing. And if they can, then you, not that you can throw away the Brazil game, but it becomes much, much less important. You don't need to get points against Brazil, and you can always focus on the Bolivia match as the last match, and a match that you certainly should win, that that not only would possibly get you through to the next round, but maybe even get you into the automatic knockout stage where you don't have to worry about the other third-place teams in the, in the tournament. Yeah, no doubt about it. I want to look at the players to watch. We've talked about a couple of players. The big one, obviously, the key would be Salomon Rondon. Who is their talisman? He is, you know, looking back at his current run of form for the national team, he has 72 caps, 22 goals for Newcastle United. Everyone in this country will be focused on one Joseph Martinez, who's coming off of last year's MLS season with Atlanta United, possibly had one of the greatest MLS seasons of all time. We're going to look at him as well. Tomas Rincon, who has kind of wandered around in Italy quite a bit, but still there. He's the captain of this side, 31 years old, 94 caps, the most experience. But I want your thoughts on Adalberto Peñaranda, who for me, is probably my favorite player on this entire team. I'd like your thoughts on him as the player.
You know, I like him very much as a player. The thing is that he had some issues, you know, discipline issues with his club in Europe, and also with the national team. I know that Dudamel is giving him a huge, you know, vote of confidence to him. But maybe we don't know what's going to happen with him, because he played last night against Mexico, and he, you know, left the field, you know, injured. And maybe, you know, there's a possibility for him to miss the Copa America. So, you know, you gotta keep an eye on that. I think that he's maybe the most talented player on that team. The thing is that he hasn't played a lot in the past 2 years because of this that I mentioned with his club, you know, the discipline issues, and of course he has been injured for a while too. So if he goes to Copa América and he can play, you know, for several minutes, let's say 30 to 25 minutes per game, again, I think that he can make a huge impact on this team. And for sure, if he stays healthy, if he you know, is completely mature to face what's next for him, you know, with his club and also with the national team. You know, he's, the sky's the limit for this guy.
No doubt about it. I do want to ask you, before I throw you back over to Rob, I want to ask you about the goalkeeping situation too. Wilker Fariñas, 13 caps, plays at Millonarios, is in competition with, as a younger goalkeeper and upcoming, is in competition with Rafael Romo, who is a 29-year-old. He plays over at Apoel, so he plays over in Europe. Who do you see starting? Is it Fariñas' job in this tournament?
No, I mean, 100%. Fariñas is going to be the starter from the beginning. There's no doubt about it. And I think that they know that. Not only Wilker, but also Romo knows that. And Fariñas is maybe, you know, I'm not afraid of saying this. Fariñas is maybe, after Alisson Becker in Brazil, the best goalkeeper in the tournament.
Wow.
What he has done with, not only with Millonarios, but with Venezuela, you know, and then the second half of the qualifying, you know, facing Argentina and Chile and Uruguay and those national teams, they have been very impressed. I mean, those teams. Messi has been, I mean, you know, he was shaking his head and, you know, putting his hand on his head, you know, looking at this guy like, how is he doing this? I mean, this guy is really good. Nobody knows about this guy. He was maybe the best goalkeeper in the tournament. And, you know, he's gonna surprise a lot of people, you know, especially those that don't know him. But as I said, maybe after Alisson Becker, he's the best goalkeeper in the tournament. And as I said, with Peñaranda, the sky's the limit for Wilker, and maybe even higher.
So I actually want to go back to Wilker from you, because I'm a big fan of him. Having seen him in Millonarios, having seen him play for the Venezuelan national team in some of the World Cup qualifiers, yeah, I mean, he's incredible. You know, 21, and it's, to be fair, you know, he's also, I think, about like 5'11 or 6 feet, so he's not actually the tallest goalkeeper, but just the way that he plays, the way, like, his style and just, you know, being able to keep clean sheets and whatnot, I thought to myself, yeah, this guy is incredible. But, you know, just going focusing on what is the future of him? Because, you know, he is 21. He's currently at Millonarios. You know, Millonarios aren't in the Copa Libertadores group's knockout stage or anything like that. Is there a possibility that we will see him in Europe? And if so, you know, what is the latest in regards to perhaps rumors of teams that are interested in a goalkeeper like him?
Well, there was a rumor coming out of Spain that maybe he was going to go to Barcelona. I don't think that's going to happen yet. But I think that he has the talent to finish in a very important league in Europe. Maybe he can go to Portugal or England, Italy, maybe Spain with one of the middle table teams. I don't know. Maybe he can finish in one of those teams. And I think that he's going to be playing in Europe sooner than later. As you mentioned, he's 21. He's only 21, so he's still very young. But he has been playing like he's 27 or 28, you know, with way much more experience. I mean, he's very mature, and that's very important for him. He's not afraid of anybody. I mean, he can have Messi or Suarez or Neymar or whoever in front, and he's not going to be afraid of, you know, blocking every single ball that is going to be shoot it against him. So yeah, I mean, this guy can be in Europe sooner than later.
For sure. And, you know, at 21 and being in the position that he is as a goalkeeper, they tend to have more of an extended career than most outfield players. So yeah, you're looking at perhaps the best, you know, your Venezuela's number one for the next 10, 15 years, without a doubt. So yeah,
without a doubt. And maybe he's the best Venezuelan player on the team. Maybe he is. Even though having, you know, Rondon or Joseph Rincon, but he's maybe the best.
Definitely. So just looking into all of those players, as you mentioned, you know, what do you think is a starting 11 that, you know, Dudamel will be looking to put into this Copa America? And, you know, what kind of style and type of game plan do you think that Venezuela will be looking to play heading into this Copa America?
For sure, they will be attacking because they have too much speed, you know, on their forwards and, you know, on the midfield as well. With Murillo, Machis, Junior Moreno. Those are guys to keep an eye on them, especially Murillo. I don't know if you guys saw the goal that he scored against Mexico last night. That was an unbelievable goal.
It was a great shot, yeah.
I saw it. I don't know if he was trying to, you know, give a pass or whatever, if he was trying to score from, you know, from that distance. But if not, I mean, it ended up being a very good, very nice goal as well. So yeah, that's what this Venezuela team is going to look like. You know, a team with a lot of speed. They will be attacking a lot. You know, maybe doing that transition from going to, you know, from attacking to defending, they're going to have several issues there because their defense is not that good. They have a lot of things to work on that. But if they can score from the beginning and, you know, keep the, you know, defending and, you know, putting some pressure on their rivals, they're gonna have success.
No doubt. So looking forward to this tournament, Daniel, what is your expectation for this Venezuelan team? Where do you expect them to finish? What would be considered a good tournament for them?
A good tournament, I think that it will be, you know, advancing to the next round. The second round will be good. I don't know. Maybe I think that there's a chance that this team can finish in the maybe quarterfinals or semifinals as well, as happened in 2011, because I think it's a way much talented team. They're way more prepared. You know, having those guys, those young guys that have been under pressure, you know, playing especially the under 20 tournament 2 years ago in South Korea, they played the final against England. So these guys are, you know, they know how to play in high leverage situations. So that's going to be important for them. Also having the guys like Rincon and Rondon and Joseph that play, you know, that tournament in 2011. So I think that maybe quarterfinals or semifinals would be a very good result for Venezuela. I mean, if they win, I don't think they're going to win. But if they do it, well, of course, it will be even bigger.
And I was going to say, if they do win, I mean, because that's usually my last question. You know, you think about this country, you think about Venezuela. First of all, sporting-wise, baseball is bigger than soccer or football. Then you factor in the political situation that's there. What would this mean? You know, what would it mean for the players of the Venezuelan national team? What would it mean for the people of Venezuela to bring home this title?
A lot, because as you mentioned, and this is the toughest part for us, is that, you know, of course, the political situation that has been going in Venezuela for decades has been, you know, maybe the toughest one for a country in the recent history. So, you know, to have, you know, the country united at least for 90 minutes every 5 or 3 days, whenever they play, mm-hmm. it's going to be important because there are so many, you know, fights and violence and too many horrible things going on in the country that, you know, to have that a united country for that time, you know, rooting for the same team and knowing that with work and with teamwork you can go higher and you can be better. That's the Venezuela that we all want to have, you know, Venezuela of you know, victory, of triumph and all that stuff. So if they do good, whatever, I mean, even though if they don't win the cup, if they do good, if they do a good tournament, that's going to mean a lot for us because it's going to be, as I told you, a lesson that with hard work and teamwork, you can do a lot of good things.
It's the beauty of soccer is, you know, time and time again, we've talked about it. Soccer does unite. And at least for a brief moment, the people of Venezuela should be united behind this team and supporting them. For me, the best thing about the Venezuelan national team is the nickname they have. Of all the nicknames in the South American football, they have the best one, the red wine. So
La Vino Tinto, the red wine. Tinto, yeah.
That's right. So, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining me and discussing La Vino Tinto, Venezuela's national team. So for Daniel Alvarez, for Mr. Roberto Rojas, I am Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening and good night.